and welcome to the Aster Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer at Aster Investment Management. I am joined today by my friend and partner, Rob Stein. Rob, hello.
Hi, John. Hope you're well.
I'm well, thank you. We've both had a little bit of a break. Payrolls came out over the break, and that's going to be our main topic of discussion today. But there's been a decent amount of news since the last time we talked. And I'm going to say that, so starting off with the economy in a nutshell feature, like, I'm seeing good news compared to the last time, compared to a month ago, compared to a couple of weeks ago. The news is coming in very positive, and I think I expected to get more positive, but that's sort of in the future. But for now, I see everything I see is positive. I don't see any sort of clouds on the horizon right now. What do you think, Rob?
You're optimistic.
I am.
You usually have a but.
No.
Yeah, I would agree. You're starting to get jobs return. Housing market looked strong. Short-term rates looked fairly stable. Spending, consumer sentiment. I think you can check the list. And we'll do that a little bit today. But, you know, philosophically speaking, I'm wondering if the bounce back from a really deep, and this is sort of the 1 year anniversary of getting the data that was recession-like. And so I wonder how much of this is still
depression-like. It was like comet smashing into Texas, like.
Or all-time high, all-time, you know, worst.
But yep.
I still am not convinced that the widespread recovery is anything more than how deep that was and how long the pandemic went on and how we're getting sort of, you hold the ball under the water, the balloon under the water, and it rallies back to the surface. As we pointed out when we were talking, we have another year of employment trends like this just to get back to where we were.
We'll talk about that a little bit more in employment, but I think that's a good point. Like, so where are we going from here? Are we going back to, you know, are we going back to January 2020 or are we going someplace new? And I guess I'm starting to hope that we're going someplace new and better. So let's jump into the payroll number. So, I mean, I guess I have a small but here.
Is it hour, average hour?
No. So the number came in quite strong, 916,000 new jobs created in March. Decent drop in the unemployment rate, down from 6.2 to 6.0. I mean, the 900,000 jobs is 300,000 more than were expected. So my only but for that, and 600,000 is a great number, right? Like, that's awesome. So my only but with that is that, you know, if you dive into the seasonal adjustments, then what you see is that, all right, so I don't know how technical to get here, but basically, like, so you add up everything bad, you add up like what typically happens in March, right? So you're like, okay, in March, we usually lose 200,000 jobs, whatever. Right, and then you sort of back that out, or you adjust the headline number for that what typically happens in March. Right. What happened in last March, right? Like, we lost like 10 million jobs or whatever it was. It was 8 million jobs. It was like insane. And so that's a big enough number that even though that only happened in one March, it can affect the seasonal adjustment. And now they do try to take outliers out of the seasonal adjustment, but, you know, like, honestly, like, I might leave out 2020. If I was the Census Bureau, I might leave out all of 2020 in the seasonal adjustment. So long and short of it is the seasonal adjustment changed by 250,000 jobs. So if you back those jobs out and from the payroll number, then you end up with closer to the consensus, you know, 650,000-ish jobs. Was that clear, Rob? That seems a little dumb.
Yeah, but it'll just shorten it up, right? The seasonal adjustments are including some data that is so aggressive that they might be adjusted incorrectly.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
And that might get back to what economists were suggesting, and the additional, 300,000 jobs may or may not be something that's relevant. But, you know, John, we also had some decent revisions of the previous months. And you know, one of the, I like to look at that. I think that revision, the direction of revisions, sometimes indicates a trend.
I think that's true. Right? Two month net revision was 150,000. And that's usually pro-cyclical. That usually moves in the direction of the economy.
Right. So back to there's some good news out there. I think we all agree, and we certainly will continue to go through the data, but we're gonna be telling the same story. There's good news, looks promising. The question mark over it all Is it really good news or the balloon just getting back to the surface?
Right. You know,
good night, everybody.
Also on the jobs front, one little asterisk that is also there is that, so the number of permanent job losers is not declining, while the number of people on temporary layoff who say, so they basically ask people like, are you on temporary layoff or did you lose your job permanently? And people don't have perfect knowledge about that, right? But they ask them. So the number of people on temporary layoff have been dropping. The number of people on permanent job losers is about 3.5 million. And that number has been static for 7 or 8 months now. Similarly, there's the number of people unemployed for more than 27 weeks is going up and up and up. Part of that is due to the economy. Part of that is due to it being slightly less painful to be unemployed because of the extended unemployment benefits, both in terms of time and in terms of the now $300 federal check. And then finally, in terms of the payroll number, there's still 10 million people who are unable to work because their employer closed or lost business due to the pandemic. So, I mean, I guess you could hope that that 10 million could come back. Job openings are going up as terms of listed on like job boards, like those are going up and up and up, which is good. So just before we leave the labor market, if you look at the claims for unemployment insurance, those are high, coming down somewhat, especially the PUA, this pandemic unemployment assistance for temporary work for gig workers and self-employed people. And both the state claims and the PUA are trending down, though still at very high levels. So the next thing we should talk about is probably the purchasing managers indices. We got numbers from the Institute for Supply Management and from the IHS Market Survey. Both of those are extremely strong, both in manufacturing and in services. In the ISM numbers, which is sort of the more popular numbers to look at, they're at life of index highs. Services numbers in the mid-60s. Manufacturing is in the mid-60s. Extremely, extremely strong. And if you look into the details a little bit, you can see that a lot of that is due to supplier deliveries. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine, sometimes it's a little bit tricky to interpret, right? Like, you know, if suppliers are just, I mean, in general, I think the logic is that if I'm a cookie seller and my cookie box maker can't get them to me because everyone's trying to get cookie boxes, then you know, things are strong. But you can imagine other stories about that too, right? Like other sorts of inefficiencies. But basically, it's strong across the board. Employment, production, new orders, supplier deliveries. It all looks good.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I'm the but and you're the looks good. But it's also much like when there's a natural disaster and you get supply interruptions only pushing at the sales and deliveries forward. And you know, we had 7-8 months of that. Additionally, calculation of diffusion index perhaps makes it look slightly different, but there's just no
mistake, I think right? we should just flesh that out a little bit. And basically the idea is that this number is, you go around, you ask firms like, you're doing better than worse than last month, and if you're coming from a very, very low base, then you know it's not clear that you know 80% of people saying they're doing better than last month means that things are good. They could just be less bad.
Yeah.
These numbers can get a little bit funky around big disruptions like this. I think that's what you meant, right, Rob?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But overall, you know, we can only work with the numbers we have, and those look quite strong. Something we don't talk about a lot is auto sales. Those are very, very strong. And there's also supply problems in the auto sector due to the chip shortage.
You know, that's going to be I don't want to go off on such a huge tangent. That's a bigger deal than
the chip shortage.
Yeah.
So I mean, I might try to put in the show notes links to, there's been 4 or 5 other podcasts from other places that have gone into the details of the chip shortage and the structure of the chip market. And I think, you know, there's for autos, as I understand it, the problem isn't really the ability to make the chips. The problem is that you've got to sort of book that capacity in advance. And when the economy fell off a cliff, like automakers gave up their capacity and other people took it. So it's more like this is a little bit of a self-inflicted wound, right? Like things will get back to normal as the chip sort of, as bookings in the chip factories even out. And, you know, there's not only so many iPads people are going to buy. So I think this is sort of going to be a self-correcting thing in the auto market.
We'll see.
We'll see. We definitely will.
You know, we'll see the advancements. We could talk about that at a different time, but it's certainly noteworthy.
Just before we close, I do want to mention that consumer confidence is trending up. And at Aster, we perform a sort of a calculation to try to extract a common trend out of numerous consumer confidence surveys. And so the pattern for that was, quite strong through 2019, quite weak, fell down a lot in 2020, sort of crawled its way back up in the fall of last year, only to fall again when the third wave hit. And now it's heading back up. And so, you know, I guess I'm expecting that to be steady good news from here out. And the last couple of numbers we've seen on the confidence side are good. And I think, you know, people underestimate how important consumer confidence is. If you talk about the stock market, you know, Keynes famously talked about animal spirits, right? And so, mm-hmm. you know, you could say that, like, and what he meant by that is there's a company, it's supposed to make $100 a year. And so, you know, my stock price, I'm going to bid for that depends on expected cash flows, right? But also depends on like what I'm willing to pay for them, right? And so the more confident people are, the more they're willing to pay for, you know, a given cash flow, the more willing they are to open a business. And like consumers know where the economy is better than economists, right? Like in the aggregate.
Yeah, I would agree. The question is how the survey is done, right? They're calling people who are home to answer the phone.
Yeah, I don't think there's, I wonder if Michigan is still doing phone calls or everything is online now. Yeah, in general, like you try and find people and then adjust to the actual demographics of the country. You know, they've been less able to do that with smaller surveys and politics, as we've seen recently in the last couple of years. But, you know, they could probably address that just by making those surveys.
And the reality is, John, that the trend, if the audience is the same, you could still get a trend.
Yeah, if you're trying to pull out a trend and not trying to say, you know, do 55% of Americans support Trump or 53% of Americans support Trump, that might just be too fine of a distinction to draw. But you could say people are more optimistic than they were last month. That might be a more solid conclusion. And, you know, again, like what we try to do here is to pull out a common trend from a bunch of different consumer sentiment surveys. And those are looking positive.
Yeah, agreed.
So I think we will wrap it up there. I'll see you in the IC in a few minutes, Rob.
Great. Thanks, John.
Please rate us and review us if you enjoyed this podcast. And please tell somebody else if you like it. If you are hungry for more economic analysis and charts, you should check out our website, asterim.com. That's asterinvestmentmanagement.com. Or download our Aster Research app from your favorite app store. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.